On Friday's Page One, President Hosni Mubarak of Egypt refused to step down. Vice President Omar Suleiman told the angry crowd in Tahrir Square to go home. House Republican leaders gave in to conservatives and said they'd find more ways to cut federal spending. And workplaces where tobacco-free means smokers need not apply. Some hospitals say banning smoking on the premises isn't enough. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says President Hosni Mubarak refused to resign. That contradicted earlier reports that said he would step aside. Mubarak said in a televised speech that he would delegate more authority to Vice President Omar Suleiman. That came as a surprise to thousands of demonstrators who'd been counting on Mubarak to step down. Suleiman went on television a short time later and told the crowds to go home. Opposition leader Mohamed El-Baradei called for the military to intervene. He wrote on Twitter, "Egypt will explode." Times reporter Scott Shane looks at how Suleiman is perceived.
Omar Suleiman is very connected to the military. He's very much at the core of this regime. He has very good relations with Washington, very good relations with Israel. But the problem with him as a transitional leader, and certainly with him as a permanent leader, is that it's almost certain that the opposition, the people out on Tahrir Square in Cairo, will not accept him as a symbol of change when he's been a key figure in the Mubarak regime for many, many years.
Times reporter Scott Shane. Also on Friday's Page One, Afghanistan is considering clamping down on women's shelters. The rules would force women at shelters to appear before an 8-person government panel. The panel could send a woman to jail or order her back home, where she'd risk being beaten or even killed. For many, Afghan shelters symbolize the tension between modern values and traditional ways. Many Afghans believe shelters encourage girls to run away from home. In Washington, House Republican leaders said they'd go along with conservatives and dig deeper for cuts in the federal budget. House Appropriations Chairman Hal Rogers dropped a plan for $40 billion in cuts. Conservatives say that's not enough. The $40 billion is based on the idea that the fiscal year is already almost half over. But rank-and-file conservatives complain they have to fulfill a campaign promise to roll back domestic spending by a full $100 billion.
God hunt us all. If we do not hunt Moby Dick to his death.
That's how Hollywood imagined Captain Ahab. The real-life captain who inspired Herman Melville to write Moby Dick finally made it home on a Nantucket whaler. The remains of that ship have just been found about 600 miles from Honolulu. Captain George Pollard and his crew floated across the Pacific after a great white destroyed the ship they started out on. Times reporter Jesse McKinley says it's a story of starvation, madness, and cannibalism. Along the way, Pollard ate his cousin. Smokers now face another risk. Smoking could cost them a shot at a job. Some hospitals now have tobacco-free hiring policies. They make job seekers submit to urine tests for nicotine, and they'll fire new employees caught smoking. This has touched off a debate that has even anti-tobacco groups worried. At issue is whether tobacco-free hiring establishes a precedent for employers to intrude into people's private lives and ban a habit that's legal. Inside Friday's Times, Afghanistan's intelligence service said last month's deadly attack on a supermarket was organized from inside a maximum security prison. It's not clear how a jail Taliban commander pulled it off. Officials said he masterminded other attacks from behind bars as well. The prison security director said some guards take bribes and let the inmates do what they want. President Obama said his plan to expand high-speed wireless coverage is an economic necessity.
We can't expect tomorrow's economy to take root using yesterday's infrastructure. We got to think about what's the next thing. What's the next big thing?
The president went to northern Michigan, where he said expanding wireless access is as important as the railroads and highway systems that connected previous generations. The White House says the plan would cut the federal deficit by $9.6 billion by charging broadcasters and wireless companies for their place on the spectrum. Here in New York, state courts are ready for a terrorist attack or a widespread epidemic. The state court system has an instruction manual for judges and lawyers. It covers warrantless searches and mass evacuations, and also when laws can be suspended. The court system's chief of operations says it's not the only thing the courts have done to prepare. They've also stocked up on respirators and latex gloves. Irish eyes weren't smiling about an off-the-cuff remark by New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. He was at a reception honoring the city's St. Patrick's Day parade. Here's what he said.
Normally, when I walk by this building, there are a bunch of people that are totally inebriated, hanging out the window, waiting. I know that's a stereotype of the Irish, but nevertheless, we Jews from around the corner think this.
That was on Wednesday night. On Thursday, Parade Chairman John Dunleavy called the remarks a shock. City Council Speaker Christine Quinn called them inappropriate, and the mayor issued an apology. WikiLeaks says it's taking legal action against a tell-all book by its former second-in-command. The book by Daniel Domscheit-Berg is critical of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Domscheit-Berg had a falling out with Assange last year and has now started his own site, OpenLeaks. He says Assange was paranoid and hired bodyguards when he traveled last year. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.